You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking around the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man.
We continue on a Tuesday. Joining me, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
Hey, I just read that. I sent that to Brock. What's up? That stuff that I sent to you, like, now it makes sense. Because my daughter's daytime learning light went out. So I sent it to her. I said, hey, go by, pick this up. So I said, you know, go to AutoZone, pick up this bulb. And you're like, why? Well, I thought it was my daughter. I'm like, for your car. You know, you're like, ah, also see if this as well, because she has her mirror thing missing. And you didn't reply to that. So then she calls me, and she's like, hey, Dad, I'm on my way home. I said, did you go to AutoZone? She's like, what for? And I'm like, all right, don't play this game with me right now. And that's what it dawned on me. I said, I just sent you all this text. You said, what for? I said, for your car. She's like, Dad, you haven't sent me anything. So I went back, and I'm like, as I'm getting madder, I'm like, yeah, I sent it to Matt. Okay.
never mind. So really, you're struggling this morning.
No, actually, I'm not. I'm like,
I'm doing good.
I don't know. Yeah, I was doing great until I realized you got to double check.
I just thought you were sending me like, hey, these are really cool. You ought to go buy them. They're on sale at AutoZone or something like that. I'm like, okay, yeah. He's into flashlights today. Then I saw the thing. Then I saw the thing that had to do with the the mirror, and I'm looking at it going like, what is he talking about? Like, why is he sending me a part? Like, what the hell? I'm like, whatever, man. All right. if you really want me to do it that bad, okay, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, thanks for playing along.
Well, no, I thought you were looking out for me. Why would you just send me random shit? It was like, look, man, this is important. This is good. You put it on your mirror. This is how this works. It's a quality piece of equipment. So
that's yeah, fine. No kidding. Hey, guess who's 30 today? By the way,
guess who's 30? 30? Who would I know that would be 29?
Oh, everybody knows him.
I have no
him or her.
Who?
Genderless. The internet. The World Wide Web.
I saw that. And the inventor, not Al Gore, laments that it's being used for bad things. Thought it would be a good thing. Thought it would be a good thing. And
well, all the road to hell is paved in what?
Good intentions. I wonder if overall is the internet, overall the internet's a good thing, right? It connects people but
yeah, overall.
Like anything else, like any good thing.
But it's yin and yang. It's good and evil, bad and good. It's the struggle that mankind lives, right?
Wow.
What fun would it be if everything we had was just good? How boring of a life.
Yeah, it's like a construction.
Everything was good.
It's like a construction site. How boring would it be if it was just a construction site and not a playground for little kids? And then you hear
and not a romantic getaway for your girlfriend.
and then you hear the, do you know how many little kids get hurt on construction sites? Well, isn't that the beginning of the application of Darwin's law? Right?
Yeah.
Right. That if you're too stupid,
hasn't happened to me.
Exactly. If you're too stupid, then that's how like all fun got taken out of the lives of children. Like everything they do is supervised by their mother. They play indoors or in their front yard, and then they get taken to a group setting where they play and supervised.
Yep.
Come on, man. You got to get off the leash. Get off the leash and get off the reservation.
Yeah, adventures, Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
Exactly. We were chasing
illegals through the sewers of San Diego. When I was like 9 years old. And I had like a road flare, and I'd yell out in Spanish, "I have dynamite! I have dynamite!"
Oh my god! Oh, yeah.
That was painy.
So yeah, you're right. So they're always, but again, that's how the fun started going out of life. Mothers got involved, and like, we can't have them doing dangerous things. Like, our moms didn't care. He's not doing dangerous things. He's just doing boy stuff.
They did care. They just, like, weren't in our business.
Yeah, my mom stayed out of my business. Stayed out of my business.
they respected our space.
They didn't respect our space. My mom would violate my space at every time that she thought it was necessary. Kathleen would violate my space. But, you know, there was, like, boys were, that's what kids did, though, right? When you and I weren't atypical. We're just other kids in the neighborhood, and kids went off and played. That's what they did.
Well, I was pretty. I was not like every other kid, by the way. Just to get the record straight.
How stupid of me to say something so foolish.
I mean, I'm not here to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm just saying. I wasn't your typical.
Yeah, I had a mini bike.
I had a cool mini bike.
I had a dad who rode motorcycles. What did you say? What kind? He had an Indian.
An Indian, a Norton. Yeah. He had, like, all the old ones.
Really? Really? Did he grow up riding with his dad or what?
Oh, he had a Valisette. Look that up. Whoa. That's like a... People that are listening that know motorcycles just probably were, like, rock back and drop their coffee on themselves. Did he just say a Valisette? Yes, he did. He dropped that word. One word that you haven't heard in the English dictionary in a long time.
Right. You don't. You see him at shows and stuff like that. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And so, now you said that Indian. When you see those, you're like, ooh. That's like, I'm not even a motorcycle guy, and I know that. Let's see. What else is going on today? Board of Inquiry. USS Fitzgerald found the surface warfare officer assigned to monitor the surface plot in the Combat Information Center that night. They said he could remain on active duty by a vote of 3-0 in a board of inquiry. So that's going on today. You also have... let's see. What else is going on today? I got invited to join a couple of closed groups on Facebook that deal with this military housing thing. Oh, man. Mike, you talk about depressing.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah, like I... because
why would you want to, like, ooh...
Because it's the truth. Little kids with bloody noses all the time, respiratory...
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be part of that.
It's like, and the DOD is so going to try to walk away from it, because that's what they do. They don't take responsibility to provide for people.
And they will do. What do you mean they're going to do?
It's gross.
They will do.
It's gross. And so all the obligatory outrage and whatnot. And military scheduled get a 3.1% pay bump. So, you know, election time's coming up. They'll get the 1.2 on the year after the election. So that's going on. Mullah Omar was living, like, very close to a firm base in Afghanistan. Not one that we owned. It was a special person firm base. FOB Wolverine. I don't know where it was. So that's going on. What else is going on? I think that's all I got for you right now. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got.
That's a pretty boring day.
I know, so far. What about the garage update? Where are we? Before you start, I got a follow-up from yesterday. Headline.
Oh.
Navy to stop recruiting Filipino nationals. The end of the military base agreement with the Philippines will terminate the nearly century-old program. The Navy says it will stop recruiting Filipino nationals December 31st, ending a unique program that each year afforded about 400 of the brightest young men in the Philippines an opportunity to escape grinding poverty to join the service. Recruiting will cease both because the military base agreement with the Philippines is ending, and because U.S. Armed Forces are scaling down, says Navy spokesman Lieutenant Deborah Carson in an interview from Washington, D.C. Tens of thousands of Filipinos have served in the Navy since the end of the Spanish-American War. When the Philippines became a U.S. colony, Filipino sailors have fought in every conflict involving U.S. Armed Forces since 1990. Although the Navy acknowledged the roles of Filipino sailors have played since the turn of the century, Carson said that the recruitment of them was formalized in 1947 when the United States and the Philippines signed the military base agreement. So there's a little background to the gunner saying, yeah, we don't do that anymore. So anyway.
Yeah. Isn't that sad? That's sad.
It was, because we were like a Filipino-oriented organization in the Marine Corps. And, you know, and again, everybody had stories about going to the Philippines and going to Olongapo and going to Subic City and going to Manila and the the transvestite parade. I never saw it on Masaysay Street in Manila at 2 a.m. on Friday night or whatever. And you're like, what? Yeah, join the Marine Corps, see the world.
What are my little eyes seeing?
Exactly. Right? And you have all these little goobers from Omaha, Nebraska, and Council Bluffs, Iowa. Where are you guys going? We're headed to Masaysay Street to see the transvestite parade. What the hell is going on here? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it worked. And so the Philippines were a huge part of our culture. The Marine Corps that you and I joined. And again, you had your first fruit bat experience down there.
Yeah. Oh, I had a lot of first experiences down there. some of my lowest points in my life that I'm not proud of, like throwing my silver pesos at the shit River Queens.
Yeah. But that was,
But you know,
it was all part of the carnival that was part of this, you know,
Olongapo. I'm kind of like, you look back and you're like, why did I partake?
Because you're stupid.
We were all stupid.
Don't say we. I didn't do that. I was a
You didn't go then.
Yes, I did. I was a commissioned officer.
Then you are in denial.
No, I'm not. I am not in denial.
What? Are we saying we were an altar boy down there in the Philippines?
I would say that I was beyond altar boy status in the Philippines. So my exposure in the Philippines limited, okay? We get there, and the first 24 hours you have to sit.
I'm not judging. I'm
going to explain why. The first 24 hours, I was on a ship. No, that's not exactly true. And then we had to put to sea because there was a typhoon coming. And so we were supposed to be there for 3 or 4 days. And I got around the base the first day, and then we went to sea. But on the way back, I don't know what happened, but I only recall being in Olongapo out there with the general population that was getting drunk and doing other things one night. And that was the night I went to the police station with Lance Corporal Beddington because a prostitute took a swing at him, and he pushed her, and she faked like she was feigning and hit her head, and then he got arrested. And so in order to settle out of court for, I think the going rate was $285, we had to be at the police station and wait for her, and if she didn't show up before midnight, then they dismissed the case. And so other Marines bought her earlier in the evening so she could show up, and they only paid, I want to say, $120-something for her. They came out of Beddington's paycheck. And Beddington saved about $150, and it cost me a night sitting in an open-air police station with a Lance Corporal, with the rest of the planet getting drunk as a Marine First Lieutenant. And then we left.
That's not really choir boy stuff. That's pretty evil, too. You just make it sound like...
No, but I was the good part of it. I wasn't the bad part of it. I was the good part of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine.
So you were there as a little wayward, what, PFC Lance Corporal?
Yeah, well, I was a PFC when my first time there.
Think about that. Mike Musselman, PFC.
First time out of the country, and you walk into a Olongapo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like...
You can't describe it. It's like Shangri-La gone wrong.
That's like being a Tibetan monk living in, you know, the mountains in Tibet, you know, the underneath Everest, not knowing that there's a world up. And then all of a sudden being whisked away and wake up and you're walking through the gates of Disney World.
Except...
Which would be like...
Yeah, Disney World gone wrong. Like the...
The exact opposite.
It's the Magic Kingdom in Disneyland. This is like the not very magic kingdom where
there's... It's magical, all right. There's a lot of freaking magic.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was... But again, how old were you? 19?
I was pretty young. I don't remember.
Let me just tell you, there's every evil, like, immoral thing at your feet when you walk into a Longapo. Everything.
As long as you got money.
And you have money, and there's this crazy bar scene, and the doors are all open, and there's people, you know, in the evenings, right? There's people everywhere, and there's this party going on, and oh my God, man. Oh my God. And then you see these young hayseeds from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, figuring it all out, and you're like, oh my God. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And then you see these, you know, you'll see the hayseeds, and they marry a Filipino girl. Like, sir, could I talk to you?
No.
Yeah, but then you see them, right, with their red Marine Corps jacket on, with their Filipino girl. And they've never had a girlfriend in their life. And this girl, like, loves them. And that's where I tell the story, like, Marlene. Bennington and I walking down the street, going to the police station. Marlene, come on, you go boom, boom, you go long time. Like, no, we're in our Charlie's going to the police station. No, we're busy. No, you don't understand. I only have sex with Army and Navy on payday. I love Marines all the time, right? How do you not laugh at that line? It was hilarious, right? And they laugh.
There was no Army guys there.
I know.
There was no Army guy there.
No, there's a few, not many. But it was a Navy base, man. That was big.
Air Force up. Like Navy, but like Angel City was Air Force.
Right. There was a big.
And then the Army guys were up.
What was the big Air Force base there?
Was it Clark?
Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. Is that still there? That's still there, yes.
No, not as a Air Force base, but I think it's still there. I don't know. That's a good question, man. I can't remember. I know the earthquake, Mount Pinatubo destroyed it. And, yeah, it's still there.
Is it?
But it's not being used. Yeah. It's a Filipino Air Force base now.
Wow. Let me tell you, those were
3 miles west of Angeles.
Those were giant, giant bases. I mean, Clark Air Force Base, and Subic Bay.
It's still a giant. It's huge.
Subic Bay Naval Air Station, man. Then there was the O Club on QB Point where the aviators hung out. And, yeah, it was your basic boys gone wrong event. And so...
Angel City was worse than...
I never got there. Where's Angel City?
Yeah, that was worse. It was right outside of Clark.
Oh, really? What were you doing in Clark?
We had to go. Hey, let's go up to Clark.
Check it out.
Okay. Yeah, there's Air Force guys. Let's go.
Let's go. At any time, like when you went to Okinawa, when you went down to Kadena, it was like being in Kansas. You were like in America. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, there's
See, I was.
Families and stuff.
I like scuba diving, you know, so I was into that. So when I got there.
As a PFC.
That was like, I'd already done some scuba diving and I was, you know, certified. So when I got there, I was scuba diving off of Grande Island, which was like a vacation spot for people in Longapo that could afford it. And so, the very first, I want to say it was like we pulled in USS New Orleans. We came along Pierside. And because we weren't a huge ship back then, the LPH was little back then.
Right.
So we came along the pier side. We went on Liberty, got the Liberty brief, went on Liberty, and me and a buddy of mine, another brand new guy. I mean, well, he'd been a little more senior than me, but still brand new. And we were the only two boots in the platoon. So we go on this ferry to Grand Island because, you know, I wasn't a big drinker, at least, you know, at that time. I maybe tasted a beer here or there, but not a lot. And so, yeah, the two little hayseeds go out to Grand Island to go rent some scuba gear. And then I ran into
who?
So there was a bunch of people almost our same age. And so they were Americans. There were like three girls, two guys. And they were just civilians. And so come to talking to them, they were dependents.
Oh.
So I hooked up with this little blonde chick, Melissa, and we hooked up. And she was there. She was just visiting, coming home. Her parents lived there. So she had her first son away from college. So she flew out to spend some time with her family, unbeknownst to me. So, like, 2 days, we were kind of going out with each other. Remember, we used to ask people, like, hey, are you going out? You going to go out with me?
And that meant,
like,
you're dating.
Remember that?
But you're there for, like, what, 4 weeks or something like this? How can you be going out with someone?
Oh, no. Back then, we lived at the Upper Mau and Lower Mau camp. We'd come off the ship.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'd come off the ship and live there because we do a lot of training there. Shit, since the first deployment I ever went on, other than Philippines, I think we went to Thailand once. Other than that, and Hong Kong for Liberty. We were training our ass off in Subic. We were either on Green Beach,
how did you have time for a relationship?
Oh, because you'd go to the week.
Shut up! The answer is I didn't, Mac. But I didn't know that. No. I was like 19.
But I made it work. So the second time we saw each other, she invited me to dinner.
At her house?
I was like, yeah, sure.
With her mom and dad?
At her house.
Ooh.
With her mom and dad. So take this taxi. I give the guy the directions. We go up the hill.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Remember the hill? So we go up to the top of the hill, and we go through, like, Shangri-La, you know, because you go through the gates, and all the houses are immaculate plantation-type built houses. And they still had servants, remember? They had all the house servants.
Base housing overseas?
The officers up
there. Yeah, they lived a pretty... You hear things like... You know, stories from guys like, in fact, even in the book that I was reading with Sledge, you know, the way the Marines lived after World War II when they went to Beijing, to Peking, as it was, Peking. I mean, they had Chinese servants living there, right? You're like a PFC and you've got a servant that does your boots and whatnot. And
uniforms,
then,
yeah.
And those were like the PFCs. So you can imagine if you were like, a captain in the Navy, an admiral, a colonel in the Marine Corps.
The taxi pulls into this semi-circle driveway in front of this big house that had its own flagpole.
Right, which is your cue to say, this is the wrong place, take me back to where we started.
Yeah. And then I'm like, the car pulls in, I get out, it's like, I pay the guy, she comes running out, you know, jumps up, you know, kisses me. We're like, hey, yeah. So we go inside, and I'm dressed up pretty nice. I'm dressed
like
as
what?
A kid, you know.
Like, describe dressed up very nice as a...
Back then?
Yeah.
I had a collared shirt. I had khaki trousers and
nice.
Perry topsider, like penny loafers.
What a dork.
Like Mack Wick.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. You're in.
So I'm looking like Mac in 19... Mac looks like right now, I look like him in 1986.
Oh, my God.
So I walk in, and her dad has nothing to do with me, dude.
You think?
When I realized...
How pissed
that
is she?
I am dating the base commander's daughter.
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
And he's in the Navy. So mom is not making it any better because she's like, oh, Michael, we've heard so much about you. So what do you do? And I'm like, what do you mean? There's only two things you could be doing here, right?
Right.
I mean, the Marine Corps, I'm in the Navy. Come on. So she goes, so what is it you do exactly? And I said, oh, ma'am, I'm an 0341 mortar man.
You're not smart enough to lie about it, so you just tell the truth, right?
I'm an 0341
mortar man. Because you're proud of it.
Yeah, she looks at me with that, what does that mean exactly? Oh, ma'am, I drop, I'm in an 81 millimeter platoon, because that makes it better. I'm in an 81 millimeter mortar platoon, and we shoot mortars indirect at the enemy. Who's the enemy? Well, right now we don't have one, but if we do, I will shoot mortars at them. And so I tell her, I'm actually in the fire direction center. That makes it sound better, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, she's quizzed the whole time. The dad is just like,
get him, make him go away. Do
he's
something.
A pilot. He's a Navy captain. He's an he's an 06. He's a pilot. And now thank God he's not in uniform.
And now my daughter is dragging home a Marine who's down here, right, for a booty call, and that's my daughter. This is awesome.
That's my daughter,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so we have dinner, and we have a good time, and I'm in my best. And believe me, I could charm some parents, man, even the worst of them. And so I do my best. Doesn't work on the dad. Mom loves me, though. She's like, oh. And so we do our thing. Mom reminded me of the wife of the great Santini.
How old is she? How old's the girl?
She's same, exactly the same age.
Right.
So she's probably 19, 20.
Got it.
She was actually born in, I think, like October 30th or like 3 days before I was born. I mean, that's kind of weird. It was like, oh,
really?
You know, that's how we. And so. We were seeing each other up. Every time I come back, it was cool because I'm the only dude and brand new boot on the ship, and I'm the only guy that's got an American waiting for him at the pier when my ship comes into Subic Bay. Dude, that was cool.
Well, how did you... So you'd go out with her, and then you guys would go other places, and you came back? And that's why she was on the pier?
So she'd go out with us. So she'd hang out with us. Take it, you know, like me and a few of my buddies, my Marine buddies.
Right.
So she'd take us out and to go, hey, let's go over here. So we went to see places that were pretty cool. We saw a lot, you know, and again, I have very few photos of my first deployment because I was not that smart. I was like, oh, I'll be back here, right?
Right away. And it was such a pain. You had to get the camera, and you got to lug it around. It's big and clunky.
You didn't have digital. You had to bring a pocket full of, other film canisters or the little rolls that you had to load it.
Right.
Close the little door, Disposable cameras weren't a thing yet. So it was still clunky.
It was a pain,
stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she took me around, but the guys, like the corporals and stuff in the platoon and 81 guys, because they were more senior, even the senior Lance Corporal, and they were all just kind of, I'd walk off the gangway, off the ship, and there'd be, pretty little blonde little girl, give me a hug, and off we'd go. And it was like, who the hell?
Must have been stupid.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, let's go.
And it was just, hey, come on. And I always had to take a buddy because you always had to have, you had to go in pairs. That was unless I was on base, then I could make an excuse to
I'm just going to be on base.
But if you go off base, to go off the base, you had to go through that little guard check right there by the bridge.
Right.
And you had to have a buddy. And as Marines... Shore patrol, later when I came back in 88 when I was a corporal, and I was somebody now, I got shore patrol. Marines used to have to inspect Marines. So the Navy guys did, they went across and they were dressed as sometimes idiots. And T-shirt, bell-bottom jeans, sneakers, no belt, off they go. Marines, they had a post at that little guard check, that little military police guard check. right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go by them, and if they didn't like the way you dressed, off back to the ship you went.
Yeah, those fashion, the fashion police.
Yeah, yeah, we're in Olongapo.
From Tupelo, Mississippi, the fashion police.
Yeah, fashion police telling me, because he's in his chucks, with his one ribbon, his overseas service deployment ribbon,
with a peacetime P on it.
Yeah, that I got to tuck my shirt in. You're like, all right, whatever. So the thing was, my second deployment was with, my first deployment was Colonel Moffitt. He was cool.
The hell would you know?
Because we did Team Spirit.
So.
And I told you the story about meeting Colonel Moffitt when I walked into the tent. I walked in and it was cold and I was waiting for the lieutenant to get out of the meeting and he offered me a cup of cocoa.
So you knew Colonel Moffitt for a grand total of what? 45 seconds?
No, like 2 minutes, man. 2 minutes. So he walks, he invites me in his tent and he's like, oh, you look cold there, POC. Come on in for a cup of cocoa. And I'm like, yes, sir. So I walk in and I knew right away I'm someone important because I walk in this little tent and there's two cots and two field desks. And that's it. And I'm like, this guy's got his own stand-up tent?
Who is this guy?
Who is the, yeah, who's the, and a cot? I haven't even seen a cot.
My God. That's so funny. Again.
And then he makes me cocoa. I still don't know who he was because he was wearing a parka, the old parkas. Leaves. He's like, sit down. So I sit down in a chair, and I'm drinking this cocoa, and in comes the Sergeant Major, who I did know. And he's like, what the hell are you doing in here? And he didn't use the word hell. He used a lot of other profanity. And I stood up, and he's like, and then this gets, it gets worse for me, because he's like, what are you doing in here? And I'm like, some black guy gave me coffee or cocoa. Some black guy? And he just went off. How about that black guy being your battalion commander? You saw me.
And again, look, the funny thing is, like, you're bombing around the Western Pacific, just clueless, right? Living the dream.
Oh, yeah, bumping into everything, dude.
Living the dream, just clueless as fuck.
You're the ball in a pinball machine, realizing that you have no control, man. Just gravity pushing you and pulling you and bumpers pushing you.
But you don't know that, right? You think you're the man and you're in charge and you're just bouncing around like a fool. It's the best. The best.
Oh, my God. And then Lieutenant Chirac comes out. Where you been? Sir, I was having cocoa. You might hear about this later.
With the guy.
The battalion commander offered me cocoa. Oh, that's cool. Well, no, sir. I referred to him as some black guy. I didn't know he was a battalion commander. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then we had another guy, Lister. Colonel Lister. He was not very nice. I have my cruise book. And, let me read. I'm going to read you something from my cruise book.
Whoa, you have it?
That he actually...
You have it out?
Yeah, let me grab it real quick.
Mike Postman's going to go get his cruise book from when he was 19 years old, and he's going to read us an entry out of the cruise book. How exciting is that going to be? Oh,
no.
Go ahead.
So the very first, his name was the USS Palu, Colonel Quist. I'm sorry. USS Palu, LHA number 5. So Colonel Quist. This is his comment. So the very first page is him, picture.
Who's he?
He's the battalion commander, Burton C. Quist.
Lieutenant Colonel type.
Yeah. To the men of BLT 11, this cruise book captures the hard work, the fun, the personalities of Westpac 88-1. It doesn't, however, describe the long workup period and the extended hours. And as successful it was, through 183 days, you completed 4 fleet exercises, 17 special operations, 45 days of unit training, 13 days of liberty.
Yes.
And 88 days underway. Like, you're prodding yourself on 13 Days of Liberty?
Designed to limit the fallout. That's what that was about. 13 Days of Liberty. That's not
and
very much.
Third paragraph
that's like a week each way.
Yeah. The third paragraph starts out, "This won't be remembered as the greatest of Liberty floats. But when the conversation gets around to cruises, you'll know your operational experience will be here to match anyone's. And you'll outdo most everyone's. This has certainly been the highlight of my career, and I thank each one of you for your diligence and dedication and esprit de corps.
Nice.
Whenever, wherever it may be, let's plan to rendezvous and probably hoist one of the first in the future." And now I don't want to rendezvous with you because it'll be work again. And then we had Major James H. Barnes. He was our XO. Meanest guy I ever met my entire life.
The XO billet is nothing can compare with the company gunny billet. But when you're an officer, your job as the XO is to just be the hammer. That's a good, you know, if you like that stuff, and most of my friends do, being an XO, like, that's your, like, role, is your job is to tear people's ass up. So, but it's not close to the company gunny because that is, I think, the single most fun job in the world.
So what rank were you in 1988?
I would have been a captain? I was a captain, I think.
Were you?
Or 89, I went to the basic school. Early, I would have been a first lieutenant. Late, I would have been a captain, United States Marine Corps.
Here's some of the my captain then was Terry Lockard. My company manager.
I would have been Captain Mac.
So Terry Lockard was my captain.
I like that.
Michael Wynn was another captain. Another one was Captain Jin, and then Captain Dwiggins.
You're a PFC. Like, you don't even know these guys.
Yeah, Terry Lockard I knew, because he was very personable as a company manager.
He said hi to you. "Hey, Muscleman, what's up?" "Nothing, sir."
Yeah. Terry. I had Altman. Altman, remember General Altman?
I don't.
Yeah, General Altman. He started out as an adjutant, as an 0302 in my battalion.
What?
Yeah.
He started out as the adjutant. Well, they parked him there. That happens.
Yeah, they parked him there until they gave him a platoon. So Dan Altman.
Platoon or company? Did you say he was a platoon commander or company commander?
Altman?
Yeah.
He was the adjutant.
Oh, okay.
But then we had guys like, I'm trying to think of Major Lindenbar, Captain Lines, Captain Knosp, Captain Dunning.
Never heard of
Captain
him.
Captain Sisson.
Nope. Here's an email about. The first one was, they sent was, "I thought Padilla Beach made Olongapo look tame." And I said, "What year are you talking about?" I did not go to Padilla Beach until 1987. I was in the Philippines that year. I was in the Philippines in 87 as well. So what year were we talking about, Mike? What year were you there?
86 and 88.
I don't know. I don't know that I would. I could. Padilla Beach was so different. It's right on the water, and it's a beach community, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. A lot more Europeans, because it's a vacation destination. Olongapo was just oceanside. It was like Oceanside or Jacksonville. But with, like, this other crazy element involved in it, this lawless...
Like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly. Dumped into Oceanside or Jacksonville. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But Padilla Beach...
And I had A.J. Kostick as my platoon commander, old A.J.
Really? Hmm? Yeah, he was in... Ohio Man was in both in 83... And then in Olongapo in 91. When was the last time you were in the Philippines?
88 was my last time.
Really? You have never been back there since? Whoa. That's weird.
So no, Mount Pinatubo went off in the early 90s, right?
I can't remember. I'd have to look it up.
I was in London. I was in England on Barracks Duty in 88, or right after my club.
Were you ever part of any Muse?
Yeah, I was the two. I was 11th Mao in 86.
Mao.
And then the 11th Mu in 88.
But in the 90s, your deployment?
In the 90s, I was, yeah, I did 31st Mu twice.
That's like the pretend Mu.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then I did the 11th Mu again in 99 with Purcell AR.
In 99. That's a pretty big gap between deployments.
Well, because recruiting duty, I left 5th Marines. I did two Mu's in 5th Marines. And then I left on recruiting duty in 94, got back in 97, went to 1st LAR, and then deployed with them in 99.
How did, deployed where? You were part of the company that went on the Mu?
Yeah, we were a Bravo company. We went with the Mu.
Got it.
So I did 5 Mus, and then I did one UDP deployment.
Yeah, they were different cities, though. You know, like I said, Paddy Beach was a vacation site. I mean, you encountered other human beings there that weren't in the military. In Longapo, you didn't. Other than the people working there, you didn't see any other human beings that were just down there having a good time. I don't recall. But again, I don't have that much time out in the city by hook or crook. On this date in history, guess what happened on this date in 2003?
What? I have no idea. What happened?
Wait a minute. This is February 15th. Stand by.
On this day in history.
Don't shut up. Don't go there. Elizabeth Smart was found alive.
Oh, wow.
That's a big day, man. One of our favorite people on the planet, man. Elizabeth Smart. Found on this date in Salt Lake City, Utah. In 2003, after she turned 15 while in captivity, banished from her bedroom 9 months previously, was found alive in a Salt Lake City suburb with two drifters. One who's gone to jail and been released, the other one has not.
Yeah, Wanda has been released.
Yeah, but she was found today. So, one of our favorites, man. Elizabeth Smart is a stud and doing good things. And so, living proof about you can not only continue your life with trauma involved in it, but you can live a great life. Elliot Spitzer resigned 2 days after reports had surfaced that he was a client of a prostitution ring as the governor of as the governor of the state of New York, you can't like find a girl? I guess not, man. In New York City, come on. New York City is like the home of the beautiful woman. In 2009, Bernie Madoff pled guilty. The Bernie Madoff thing is the biggest, craziest thing, one of them that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all they had to do was somebody ask one question. How come there's no trades under your trading number? What? Yeah, you have all these.
Why do you want to go there?
You say you have all these billions and you make all this money for people, but there's no trades going on in your account at the SEC. What are you talking about? What are you trying to say? And he did it for years, and he stole all those people's money. God Almighty, how did nobody put a bullet in that dude? Right, but I mean,
and Frank died in a German concentration camp
on
in 1945.
Day.
For this day, and I didn't know this. Great Britain bars travel to Neutral Island, which is suspected of collaborating with Nazi Germany.
Wait, what? Say that again.
Great Britain bars all travel to Neutral Ireland, which is suspected of collaborating with Nazi Germany, 1944.
Hmm. really? The Irish. You don't eat their food, and you don't... They were pissed at the Brits, right? That governed their behavior in World War II. Yeah, so they were pissed.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not nothing to be proud of. Nothing to be proud of. That they even considered... But again, it was because they hated that the Brits had subjugated them violently over the past 1,000 years. And they were...
Were you at IOC when Nastassi and Fedorov were there?
No, they're boots.
Oh.
I was back there when, like, the men were there.
Ah.
Yeah. Old Gore. Steel pots, jeeps, and shit like that. That's right. That's right, boys. When men nice. Were men. The, what else happened on this date in history?
1994, the Church of England ordains women's priests.
First wow. one in history.
1994.
One, yeah, on this date, 1938, Hitler annexed, German troops entered Austria as Hitler executed the Anschluss, which is his annexation. And he entered in a parade that if you can still see it on film, the Austrian people welcoming him and throwing off the tyrannical rule. Well, you know, the area that he went to was kind of a place where there was a lot of Germans. And there was great German sympathy. And Germany was recovering under Hitler economically. And so there was a wild reception for Adolf Hitler in his... In the city where he lived before he went to become famous. That was the heyday of Germany as they were beginning to recover from World War I and then the Treaty of Versailles. And then it all goes wrong. And he brings upon them ruination like they could never even imagine and dream of. So anyway, so that not in your news, but it's in the rearview mirror. So we talk about it. All right, yeah. What else is going on? Give us an update on the garage, and then we're done.
The garage, everything comes in on Friday. Everything. All the last stuff. So, so now it's just waiting. It's a waiting game. So we start. Probably when we get back, if that trip goes, then to Quantico, then I'll start that when I get back.
Listen to this. In 1983, on our last night in the PI, one of our upperclassmen took me and a University of Illinois puke to a refined bar where the Navy junior officers hung out. Now, this would have been a naval ROTC guy in college going on their, like, whatever.
Tiger cruise type thing.
Yeah, senior cruise bullshit thing, pretending to be military people. This was my first experience with Mojo, which resulted in me falling in love with the Filipino knockoff band that was singing Leaving on a Jet Plane. I think I started crying. U of I goof puked on the dance floor.
Mojo.
Yeah, they had some shit down there. Hey, you want some Mojo? Like, what? What is it? And then the truly...
It's rum.
The truly intrepid Marines, they would just say yes. Like, aren't you going to ask what it is? No, man, I don't care. I'm drinking it.
Yeah.
Come on.
You could still make... So, Mojo, Filipino Mojo, I'm looking at it right now because I remember that. 4 ounces of rum, 4 ounces of vodka, 4 ounces of Amaretto, 4 ounces of gin, 2 cans of beer, 1 can of Sprite, 8 ounces of orange juice, and 8 ounces of pineapple juice. I remember they'd have banquets and they'd have Mojo. Mojo used to screw you up fast.
Yeah, so you're eating lumpia, right? You're drinking Mojo. It's just a total shit show, right? There's prostitutes everywhere. It's just this it's like this wrong.
Or drinking San Magoo's or Red Horse.
There you go.
San Miguel or Red Horse.
Either one of them.
San Magoo's. Give me a San Magoo.
It was an interesting place to be. All right, that'll do it. Have a good day.
I'll talk to you later.
You're right. See ya. That is Michael Musselman. I wanted to play something before we go away today, and so I'm going to put it on here. Let's see. Bear with me for a second while I get this thing teed up in the right spot. It's Senator Blumenthal, and it's going to be the start of his, and the reason that I'm going to play it is because what he says is important, and it has to do with compensation for the victims of this thing, for the long-term stuff, where people had their health damaged by the Department of Defense, right? And by contractor and DOD negligence. So, here's Senator Blumenthal in his questioning, and this took place at the end of the second Senate Armed Service Committee meeting.
Thank the chairman and ranking member for following up on this issue and all the military families who are here today. And I want to thank General...
Former Marine, right?
Millie for visiting with me yesterday and really giving me a very candid and determined view of the extent and magnitude and complexity of this issue. And like the panel today, he was reasoned and deliberate, but I sense in his view what I hope you share, which is a sense of outrage and anger that we've come to this point. Now, I'm just a country lawyer from Connecticut, but I was a prosecutor for a good part of my career. And what I've seen about landlords and about others who may break the law is that they understand money, particularly withholding of money, and they understand prosecution. There have been references here to fraud. I think there are clear indications of fraud. I would be even more emphatic given another setting. But I would recommend that these issues be referred to the United States Department of Justice for investigation. What's happened here is criminal. It may not be criminal in the sense of provable beyond a reasonable doubt in a courtroom against a specific company or individual. I'll leave that to the Department of Justice. But I would respectfully recommend that each of your services ask the Department of Justice to be involved in an immediate, intensive review of whether a criminal investigation is appropriate or a civil investigation, because that's the enforcement that these landlords will understand. They are landlords. They may be slumlords, but they've counted on this cash cow. It is a risk-free cash cow. Very few landlords in the country have tenants who are obligated to pay for decades, literally decades, without any real accountability. That's been their situation up to the present. So I'd like to ask each of the service secretaries who are here today, would you consider asking the United States Department of Justice to be involved?
Senator, yes, sir. I think we should pursue any allegation of fraud and hold people accountable if that's the case. And we'll certainly take this back to our lawyers and make sure we approach it the right way and aggressively.
Senator, we're already underway with Naval Audit. And as you know, the way the system works, once Naval Audit has the data, then DOJ would be involved.
Senator, for the Air Force, it's the Office of Special Investigations that does the initial investigation and then refers matters to the U.S. Attorney in the district where it's involved. And we take allegations of fraud very seriously, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that more privately.
I'd be happy to talk to each of you privately, but let me just point out.
Let me point out one thing. Heather Wilson resigned the following day. She went to work for a company, for a school that is heavily endowed by one of the people that is on this, that is one of the owners of these contracts. So pay attention to that.
The procedures for audit and internal investigation, in fact, take a lot of time. And I would, again, very respectfully suggest that this procedure ought to be expedited. And as a former United States attorney, I can tell you, I would respect your going directly to Maine Justice with this issue, either the civil division or the criminal division. And if we really care about this issue, let's recognize it for what it is and provide you with that backstop. Because at the end of the day, what they will respect across the table from you, and it won't be you, it will be people down the chain of command talking for you and representing you, but what they will respect is the hammer of fair and effective law enforcement behind you. And I think if this problem had just arisen, if it were new or novel, maybe following the normal audit procedure would make sense. But we're dealing here with a problem that has festered for a long time. I think that's been the overwhelming testimony here today. And I appreciate your being willing to talk to me and perhaps others of the committee about an immediate referral to the Department of Justice. And I say I'm going to be formalizing that request in a letter that I hope to send to you within the very near future. I want to ask about the health impacts. I heard from a woman, military family who lived in housing in New London at the sub base there from April 2014 to August 2018. She explained that the Balfour Beatty maintenance officer was responsive to some of her maintenance requests, like clogged drains. When she reported mold in their bathtub, they were advised just keep washing and cleaning the mold after every shower. Her youngest child caught pneumonia and shortly afterwards suffered a stroke only a week before her first birthday. She acknowledges she'll never be able to determine whether the stroke was caused by the mold in the apartment, but I'm asking now about the health effects, particularly on children, and whether you have been in touch with the VA, because some of these individuals may no longer be involved in active military service, to determine whether these environmental hazards and toxic substances encountered during military service can be compensable and treatable under the VA health system. I'll go down the line again, beginning with you, Mr.
Yeah, before we go down the line, we are going to adhere to our time limit, so I would deny that. I'm in recognize Senator Tillich.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to take those answers in writing and adhere to the time.
Thank you, Senator Blumenthal. Senator Tillich.
That question answered in writing when he began to talk about compensatory damages is an important one. So, again, Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut. It's interesting that the most vocal and seemingly adamant, other than Senator McSally, were all Democrats. So anyway, remember that support the troops is more than a bumper sticker, all right? Write your congressman. Pick up the phone, call him. Say, I'm watching whether you get involved in this. And if you don't, it's going to affect my vote. I won't vote for you again. Because that's the currency that they operate in. So if you want to call and leave a message, do that. Hey, my name is Mike McNamara. I'm a constituent of yours. I live in Costa Mesa, California. And I am watching this. Because as somebody wrote earlier today, we pay more attention to the homeless in this country. We pay more attention to illegal immigrants than we do to the dependents of the people that defend this country. All right, that's an interesting set of priorities. But again, the coin of the realm is your vote. And when you tell them you're watching and you won't vote for them, that gets their attention. Now, they may blow you off, and then in that case, don't forget. But anyway, thanks for listening on a Tuesday. If you're just joining us, don't touch that dial. You'll we'll check out the news in the first hour, and then in the second hour, you'll hear a couple of different sets of audio clips, and one is from the Senate Armed Service Committee meeting from February 13th, and the other one is the Senate Armed Service Committee meeting from March 7th. So they're each about, I think, 3 hours long. So you can hear, you can get a sense for each one of them in the audio cut that I put up. I don't think that too many people will listen to all 6 hours of testimony, but let me tell you, I did. It's fascinating and heartbreaking and disgusting. You know, and again, to say that this was going on and nobody knows about it is stupid. And that's why I would tell people involved, right, make sure you send out the emails, right, or an image of your email that you sent and everybody you sent that to, and make sure somebody gets that. These people all knew about it, and they did nothing. And that story will be repeated and repeated and repeated across the country. It sucks. So anyway, have a great day on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio, over and... out.